Everyone, and welcome to what is part three of our Best Books of 2023 podcasts. And I'm once again joined by writer Marcus Mack to hear about the year in Gaelic writing and literature. Hi, Marcus.
Hello, Fiskama. How are you doing?
I'm really well. And as you said before we started recording, it's difficult to believe it's been 12 months since we did this last.
It really is, yeah. And what a 12 months it's been.
So maybe what would be nice is to get a kind of overview of the year from you in terms of Gaelic writing and maybe even wider culture.
Well, it's been an interesting one in terms of readings and events, I would say. I think what I personally feel, and it's based on my own experience, you know, as a writer, is I have seen a growth and an improvement in inclusion of Gaelic literature in festival lineups, for example, and also on the kind of grassroots level as well. I've really seen a lot of you know, the events organisers taking a fresh eye towards Gaelic literature and to really work in, you know, some Gaelic participation in their events, which has been really, really heartwarming to see. We're still at the stage where oftentimes it's just one Gaelic event or one Gaelic writer amongst a whole sea of Anglophone writers. But still, progress is progress. And yeah, that's been really heartwarming to see. And I personally had an amazing time at the Edinburgh Book Festival, for example. Mm-hmm. It was a chance to raise some key issues about the climate, to also look at this intersectionally about how climate change impacts minoritized communities, particularly minoritized linguistic and cultural communities. But yeah, I had a great event there with Sam O'Farry and Mohamed Tonsi, and that was definitely a highlight for my year. And it's been great to head all around Scotland as chair of the Federation and to hear what's been going on.
And in, at such events, when you take them round Scotland, what is the reception? What, you know, how is it, you know, what kind of impact is made? Because you must be taking it to places that don't have a history, perhaps, of Gaelic language.
Well, I mean, one of the books that I'll be talking about today demonstrates that almost everywhere in Scotland has a Gaelic history in one way or another. And I think that, you know, that breaking through of those misconceptions, I think that our writers and our poets and our singers have really done a lot of the heavy lifting, you know, to really demonstrate the vitality of the language, but also its place across society. And I think that we can only see an uptick with this, you know, with the forthcoming Scottish Languages Bill, which is great for Gaelic. It could be better for Scots, I feel, but at least we have official recognition for both languages. And what an amazing thing to be able to say that the official languages of Scotland will be Gaelic and Scots. That's incredible.
Yeah, something I thought I would never see or hear, I have to say.
Yeah.
So are they your kind of highlights of the year, or are there other highlights that you would
Highlight for me in a wider literary context is always the Wee Gathering up in Stonehaven, which is still pretty much completely grassroots, although I was really glad to see that, you know, there was an expanded organisation around it and a really dynamic committee that's growing around that festival. It went into its third year, if I understand correctly. But still welcoming a rich diversity of poets, you know, page, stage and everything in between. And it's always just great to get everybody together and just have a really good catch up in beautiful Stonehaven. You couldn't ask for a better location.
And is there a real crossover between the different strands of culture going on? Because it seems we've spoken to you before about music and you mentioned stage. Is there a real crossover between all the different strands?
Well, I've definitely noticed it this year. I mean, I've been very, very fortunate to be working as a mentor for two emergent poets, one through the Scottish Book Trust New Writers Scheme. So I've been working with Mary Ann Kennedy, who will be well known to many of you as a singer and a broadcaster, but she's an incredible poet as well. And also through the Gaelic Book Council's mentorship scheme, I've been working with Katie Campbell, who's a little bit younger. She's in her 30s. Based in Inverness, and she's been working on her first collection as well. And so it's been great to kind of work with two creatives who are started off life, shall we say, as musicians. Katie's a Mod Gold medalist, as Mary Ann is, and to, you know, to help them guide in their transition from song and traditional, the traditional arts into literature and into poetry. Not that I've needed to do very much at all. It's been an absolute joy to work with them. So yeah, this is key ways that I've seen that crossover. And then with my own work, I've continued to work with Rachel Walker and Aaron Jones. Rachel and I co-wrote a number of songs for her new album with Aaron, Despite the Wind and Rain. And it's been just so joyous to see them take off into the world and even have one of them arranged for Auburn Gaelic Choir at the Royal National Mort. So that was a lovely thing to see.
And do you think that's because there is a kind of greater awareness of the literature and writing that people who have maybe been musicians and didn't think that there was any chance of them crossing over now go, well, you know, people are being published, people are being staged and seen?
Yeah, and I think that this is testament to the great work that the Gaelic Books Council have been doing, which has been to encourage anybody who has an interest in writing to get involved and just give it a go. And, you know, this has been supported by organisations such as the Scottish Poetry Library, who've had their Young Macca's scheme. There's also been some work with young people. Gaelic hasn't been included as it should have been at Stanza, but it's still been great to see young poets being supported there as well. And yeah, I think that we are starting to see that cross-pollination, and I think we're starting to see a real diversification, you know, people following a different model for their creativity, not necessarily feeling boxed into one thing or another. I recently interviewed Lana Faiton for The List. I have a monthly Gaelic arts and culture column at The List, which has been a really great joy to develop. Lana is primarily an actress and a director. She is the director of Strabang, which is the National Gaelic Youth Theatre, which is a Theatre Galliard initiative based in Glasgow. But she has also this year been turning her hand to writing poetry and songs in English, and she's been performing with both Endance Dub and Faltos. And so it's been really great to see her kind of embrace the fact that there is more than one way to be creative. Just because you're good at one thing, it doesn't mean you can't do something else. Yeah. And I think that that's something that just has to be encouraged, particularly within a minoritized language context.
Yeah. And I've been to a few spoken word nights throughout the year, and there's been more Gaelic performers than I would have seen previously.
Definitely. There definitely have been. Yeah. Heretics did a couple of events. I've really enjoyed regular events that Hadley James Hoyles has hosted here in Edinburgh. I've got through to Laura T. Fife, the Stirling Macca's regular events at the Book Nook in Stirling, and she's had some really diverse lineups there. I've had the chance to read there too, and other Gaelic writers have been there too, and also in Books and Beans up in Aberdeen with the event that's run by Joe Gilbert and Kimberly Petrie and Judy. That's another fantastic place to go and get your work before audiences. It's been a really positive year.
And how's it been in terms of publishing? Let's talk about books. Has it been a kind of quieter year in publishing, or what's been the situation?
It's difficult to say. My perception has been that it's been slightly quieter, and I think that we are still seeing the impact of COVID that has kind of slowed production maybe a little bit. I would say that AHCA have carried on, you know, I mean, I'm sure that they would acknowledge some their own challenges, but I would say that, you know, their publishing catalogue has kind of carried on unabated. But perhaps with some of the independents, yeah, I think that we are still seeing the impact of what COVID has, you know, has brought upon a minoritized publishing sector. But there's still been some really high points, and in drawing up my kind of shortlist, it might be quite surprising to you. You might be expecting the radical choices, but actually, I did go for some of the big hitters, some of the writers that have got quite strong profiles, just because of the quality of the work. And it's been great to see some people who've not published for quite a while come back. Also, I've got a diversity of genre here as well, which is really great to see.
Okay, tell us about your first choice.
Well, touching on the musical elements that we're talking about, that I think that my favourite book that came out this year was Ginshida Ginyiri, which is a republication of the Frances Tolmie collection. Frances Tolmie was living during the Victorian era. She was a collector of songs, very much in the same kind of vein as Margaret Fayshaw, Marjorie Kennedy Fraser. Margaret Fayshaw obviously came later. The Frances Tolmie collection was out of print, and so it was really a labour of love and a a fantastic project for Dr. Kenna Campbell from the Royal Conservatoire, and Ainsley Hamill, who was one of her students, both well known as singers, but also academics in the traditional music field. And they worked with the collection, re-editing it, re-typesetting it, bringing it all to fresh audiences. And I know that this is going to be an absolutely fantastic resource for Gaelic singers, but anybody who is interested in Gaelic traditional arts and traditional literature.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And it was supported by a series of concerts as well. So Ainsley and Kenna, supported by the Campbells of Greep, Mary Ann Kennedy and Wilma Kennedy and Seamus, Uncle Seamus, they've been taking the music out to audiences and performing, particularly at Celtic Connections and the Royal National Mod. So again, it's been an example of how we can layer up the different art forms and really present different experiences of the same kind of corpus of material, you know, whether you want to access it through the live music or you want to access it through the book. And the books come out in a dual format as well. So there's the hardback copy, but there's also the ring-bound edition as well, which is more useful for musicians and performers.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So what's your next choice?
Just to say that that one picked up an award at the Duishan Litachish at Cottiers as well, hosted by the Gaelic Books Council. So congratulations to Kenna and Ainsley. Oh,
excellent.
Yeah, so another one, and there's congratulations due here too at the end. I would think that my favourite poetry title this year was Fuaim an Gradh from Niall O'Gallagher, who'll be well known to readers in the Central Belt, particularly on the West Coast in Glasgow and going out that way. He was previously, he may still be, Glasgow's Gaelic Macca, which was a Glasgow Life initiative. And Niall, with Francis Bootle Publishers down in London, published his selected works. So it's great to see Niall and his work being anthologized in this way and brought to wider audiences. But the unique thing with this collection is that Niall traditionally doesn't publish bilingually, as most of us do as Gaelic poets. He publishes only in Gaelic, and he'll only read his poems in Gaelic. He quite often likes to get some friends along to read English versions of his poems. So what's been really nice has been the collaborative aspects of this book, seeing how his creative collaborative friendships with Deborah Moffat, who he supports as well as an editor, I believe, and also Peter Mackay, who's I know is a very long-standing friend of his, fellow poet, they have translated his works into English. And I have to say that they've done an incredible job. It's very difficult to work with poetry, which is so technical, which deals with meter, particularly in Niall's case. He deals with Old Gaelic forms, which are an anathema to us free verse purveyors. But, you know, to see Niall and to see Niall still refreshing and reinvigorating these forms for a contemporary era is just wonderful to see. And then to see Parthik and Deborah work them into English has been a joy. So it's really opened up Niall's oeuvre to another audience.
Yeah, we had Niall on the podcast, which you can still catch up with. But it was... he talked how important the meter and the structure was to him, you know, in a kind of old fashioned, if that's the right word, way of doing things. And
well, archaic, really, yeah.
Yeah. And as you say, the translations that are there, I mean, they, of course, I'm just reading them in English, but they are beautiful. I mean, you know, absolutely beautiful. So a beautiful collection. That's the one book by a Gaelic writer that I have read this year. And fantastic.
Yeah. And it shows the worth of these bilingual editions. You know, there are those like Niall, like Christopher White, that aren't necessarily as keen on publishing Gaelic literature in that way. But then on the other hand, if it brings somebody like yourself into Gaelic literature and provides that aperture, then it's doing good work. And so, I was really glad to see that edition from Francis Bootle. And congratulations to Niall, who was crowned Bard of Cumann Gaelic, and Cumann Gaelic crowned Bard at the Royal National Mod in Paisley. That was a really special moment. And I was really privileged to see that happen.
Oh, that's brilliant. What about your next choice?
Yeah, so just kind of taking us back to a conversation that we were having there, not necessarily a Gaelic language book, but a Gaelic theme book, and it's from Dr. Alistair White, who's an academic at the University of Glasgow, originally from Mull, somebody who learnt Gaelic to fluency there, but you would never know that he was a new speaker. His Gaelic is the most beautiful I have ever heard, I have to say. And he's published a a scholarly work supported by other academics at the university on Glasgow's Gaelic place names. Oh. And it's absolutely fantastic. It's not one that I would sit there and read cover to cover, but it's great to just dip into. And I've been enjoying it immensely. If you are interested in onomastics, in history, in folklore, even in mythology in some aspects, with references to the likes of Kentigern and Merlin and this, that, and the other, you know, it's a joy. It's a joy. And if you are from Glasgow or the region, or you have family there, I would say this is definitely one for your stocking fillers list.
That sounds amazing. And is it coming from a history background or a language background? What's the...
Well, I'd say that Alice is one of those scholars in the Asan Chow Norse, as we would say in Gaelic, like the old style scholars. He can do it all. He's got an interest in it all, but he is particularly interested in place names. He's done a number of studies of the Gaelic place names of Mull, which have really contributed to the knowledge base when it comes to his own native island. And so this is an expansion looking at Glasgow's Gaelic place names, which are, you know, celebrating the city that he's now part of. But again, with everything to do with Alistair, it's informed by the traditional canon, whether that's poetry and song. And it's just a really rich exploration of Glasgow's Gaelic life.
And do you have other books you want to speak about?
Yeah, so the last one that I've chosen that was published this year is a fiction work, and this time it's short fiction, so it's short stories, and that was Crown Fig Tree, published by Domhnach Mac Gillis, Sir Duncan Gillis, who I believe is originally from Lewes, but I think lives now in London. And when I heard him speaking at the Gaelic Literature Awards, he was talking about how he wrote at least a considerable part of the book in the National Library down in London, and about his experience of doing that. Now, as it's fiction, I won't spoil the story, but I think with Duncan, this is somebody who is renowned as being one of Gaelic's greatest contemporary writers. And this collection certainly cements his position within the contemporary canon. He's just got a really idiosyncratic, really interesting way of looking at the world and developing character. There are some traditional Gaelic themes you might expect to see in a piece of Gaelic fiction or several pieces of Gaelic fiction, but there's also a few curveballs, which I think that will be really interesting for readerships. And again, this is published bilingually. So again, it provides an aperture for people who are interested in Gaelic literature, but don't necessarily have the language or haven't got that far on Duolingo.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What's the name of that again? Because I might be interested.
Crown Fica, The Fig Tree. So that not only won an award at the Gaelic Literature Awards, but it also took the Highland Book Award. And that was really great to see that a Gaelic book took the Highland Book Award. That was a proud moment for the language this year.
Yeah, because that is quite a big prize, isn't it? That's a kind of well-considered prize.
Definitely is. And I mean, we do have to remember that there's comparatively few Scottish or UK book awards that will take minoritized language titles, Gaelic in particular up in Scotland. So, you know, the Highland Book Prize is doing a lot of good work to promote Highland writing in general and to secure a place for Gaelic literature there.
And you mentioned that you're mentoring a couple of new to writing and poetry. Are there other emerging voices or emerging writers from the scene that you would like to mention?
Yes, and it's not often that on a show like this we would talk about children's literature, but I also got to know a relatively new poet called Victoria McKeever, who's based up in Tain this year, and she came to our notice because she placed in the Federation of Writers competition, Gaelic competition, 1 year, and she wrote a children's story. She's a Gaelic medium teacher up there in Tain. She wrote a Gaelic children's story about the Fulo, a mythological creature living in a forest, and that took an award for an unpublished manuscript at the Gaelic Literature Awards. So Victoria is definitely one to watch. She's got a poem in the latest publication from the Scottish Book Trust as well. Right. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where Victoria develops as a writer, both as an adult poet, as it were, and a children's author.
And in terms of Gaelic culture more generally, how was the year for you?
I think it's been great. I've had a great time. I think it's been great. I think that, you know, you just have to look at something like the Trads to see how well Gaelic music is loved and supported institutionally. And I think that, you know, that's really testament to what organisations like Trax and Faithsean an Gael and all of the Faithsean and the local mods throughout Scotland are doing for Gaelic music and traditional music across Scotland. You know, one of the greatest things for me actually has been seeing Valtos blossoming. These two lads from the Isle of Skye, very much following in the footsteps of Martin Bennett and the Peat Bog Fairies, and then latterly Nightworks. And now Nightworks are packing up the show. You know, I would say that Valtos are the heirs apparent to take the thing forward. But what's been really great is that they've put female singers front and centre, Ailey Cormack, Lana Faiton. They also work with Man of the Minge, so it's great to see them giving a platform to LGBTQ musicians as well. This year they've done a With Friends series, which has been, instead of an album project, it's been a series of singles where they've worked with different acts, either remixing their existing tracks or coming up with collaborations. The latest is another with Elephant Sessions. And it's just been really exciting. I haven't been able to wait to hear what the next one's going to be like, because it's been a really diverse collection as opposed to the previous album where there was a real through line through everything that they were doing.
And what's interesting about a lot of the bands that you mentioned there, a lot of the musicians, is that they are selling out gigs throughout the country.
They definitely are. They definitely are. Yeah, there was a new album from Joy Dunlop as well, so it was great to see her come back. And that was really well received, and she was shortlisted for Gaelic Singer of the Year at the Trad, so it was nice to see Joy come back to singing after presenting the weather for so long. And another success story from the Trads was, of course, seeing Mary-Anne Kennedy inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I think that that was about time too, after all of the incredible work that she's done, not only as a singer and writer and composer and arranger, but as somebody who has really nurtured and supported talent down the decades in Scotland, whether it's within the Gaelic community or further afield, true ambassador for the language. So well done, Mary-Anne. Mel Dunneoch.
Absolutely. And what are you looking forward to in 2024?
There's a few things that I'm looking forward to in terms of literature. We're really excited to hear that Martin McIntyre is coming back with his second collection of poetry. So Martin is originally from Lindsay. He's got South Uist heritage, but is now based in Edinburgh, where he is the Gaelic writer in residence at Edinburgh University. He's been doing a series of amazing creative writing workshops in collaboration with Bohan Gunnigan, which is a local Gaelic arts organisation here. And also this and Common Kelchoch, which is the university's Highland Society. So he's been running creative writing workshops there, developing young talent. And he's going to be coming back with a second collection of poetry, this time with Drunk News Press, who are, again, the radical poetry press up there in Stonehaven, the guys behind the Wee Gathering. So, yeah, I had the pleasure of getting a taste of some of the works at the Wee Gathering, and I'm really looking forward to that publication from Martin.
And before I let you go, I think since you're on, we should talk a little bit about what's been happening at Aberdeen University. For people who don't know, can you explain the situation?
Well, talking of Martin McIntyre, a fellow Aberdeen graduate, and I don't know if he was president like I was, but he was in the Celtic Society as well. Back in the 80s, I was there in the early 2000s. Where to start? On the 30th of November, university management in the arts faculty announced that the four languages departments will be closed after a 45-day consultation, which the legality of which is being questioned by Senate, student union and staff at the moment. They presented three proposals that they'd been considering, which were basically seven shades of the proverbial. None of them was adequate really to support language, and they've gone for the least best option, which is to dramatically cut down language. So the upshot is that single honours in languages degrees will be got rid of entirely. There will be potential to do a combined honours, they say, with a language and another subject. But they also reckon that language provision will only feature in years one and two. So how are you supposed to do an honours degree in a language, even combined honours, if you can't do honours courses, remains an enigma to me. From the Gaelic perspective, obviously, this is extremely damaging. We said we could potentially lose 25% of higher education Gaelic provision in the country, because there's only four universities. that offer it, Edinburgh, Glasgow and Aberdeen, in the older universities, and UHI, the various constituent colleges, particularly Somerostig, offer it over in the Highlands and Islands. So, you know, the impact on the language is going to be so detrimental. But from a literature background, which is what we're talking about today, in Aberdeen, Michelle McLeod is currently involved in some critical research into Gaelic drama, which never gets any attention, particularly community drama. The work that she's done on that, I've had to translate some papers that she's done, interpret some papers that she's done recently at a conference. And if that goes, that's a huge loss to literacy. Murray Watson is, you know, a leading expert on Gaelic literary translation. He has himself translated Alice in Wonderland, and his translation of The Hobbit is forthcoming from Evertype as well into Gaelic. So if we lose that, that will have huge impact on literature. But it's not just that. It's sociolinguistics. It's the work that they're doing with young people. It's the work that they're doing on family language planning, supporting families, or at least analysing the ways that families bring children up with Gaelic. It'll be the loss of the Celtic Society as well, which for decades and decades has been a haven for Gaelic speaking students in the city, whether they were doing a Gaelic degree or not. They have always offered an extensive cultural program, which has brought students, staff, people in the community, Gaelic medium parents together, the Gaelic choir as well. You know, these are all, if the Gaelic department falls at Aberdeen, all of these other things will suffer, and we lose an end goal for all these young people going through Gaelic medium education in the city. Where do they go if there is no languages provision north of the Tay? You know, so it's devastating. Mm-hmm. And the initiative at the moment is to write to the Senate, write to the senior management, tell them what you think of these proposals, sign the petition. And if you're an alumnus of the university, you can also sign an alumni open letter, regardless of whatever your degree was. So there are various ways to show your support. And, you know, if you love language, if you love literature, if you love culture in Scotland, please do stand up for one of our historic universities, because this is going to be a sucker punch to culture in this country.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because like all areas of culture, education is key. You know, that's been shown in many, many times.
Yeah. It absolutely is. And, you know, at a point in Scotland's history where we are so keen to present ourselves as a European nation, for good or ill, despite, you know, recent referenda, this has to be a decidedly un-European move, where Aberdeen University essentially demands that the world comes to it in the English language. Yeah. I don't think so. You know, we need to be embracing people from other cultures, whoever they are. And part of that is having the respect to at least greet them in their own.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just before you leave, what's your plans? What's for yourself?
Well, I've had a really exciting year as well. I translated a children's book the first time. It was the first LGBT children's book ever published in the language. So that was another honour for me. And that was one of the books that I was promoting at the Edinburgh Book Festival and in other places. So I would really love to get more interested and more involved in writing children's literature. So I've applied for some funding to develop some ideas for that. I've also been co-editing an anthology called How Do We Talk About Knives alongside Rebecca Sharp and Samina Chowdhury, which has been a really fantastic, interesting exploration of nomenclature, naming practices, not just in Scotland, but around the world. We've opened the door to new Scots, wherever they may be, working with Scottish Pen and the Writers in Exile. There are 5 Gaelic writers in that anthology, and we've been taking it on tour. So there's going to be an online event for that in the new year. We were recently in Aberdeen. We launched it in Edinburgh at the NLS. And then in April, there will be a launch of a new anthology, which I have edited. And that's about as much as I can say, but I'm very excited about that one.
Excellent. I'll leave us wanting to know more, Marcus. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Marcus, it's always a pleasure to catch up. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
No, thank you for having us, and again for creating the space for the Gaelic language and literature. It's really, really appreciated. And here's looking forward to a really exciting 2024 for the Gaelic arts.
Absolutely. And that was part three of our Best Books of 2023 podcasts. Thanks again to Marcus for taking the time to talk to me. If you head over to scottswehey.com, then you'll find parts one and two, where I'm talking with Vicky Riley from Publishing Scotland. And our next podcast will be Best Music of 2023, where I'll be in conversation with Fiona Liddell from Geffergeist. So I will see you for that very soon.